Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Help the Archbishop, help the preacher to help us. Pray that prayer right now. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, I need your help this morning so I can help your people. Help me, Holy Spirit, to help your people. Enable me so I can help your people. Thank you for your help, Spirit of the living God. Amen. Well, somebody shout and clap your hands and you may be seated. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, I want to talk to you about the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. It's a message I haven't preached for so many years. And I have decided to go back to examine what I'm preaching to you and all over, and examine myself also in the light of the mirror of God's word, and also hearing about the unrest, the wars, the rumors of wars, nation rising up against nation, kingdoms against kingdoms, the unrest in nations, earthquakes, tsunamis, and reading Matthew 24 and looking at the signs of the end time and about the coming of the Lord. And the way it's so difficult, or it's becoming difficult for one to believe that Jesus is coming again. And the Bible said that when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith in the earth? Which means that it's going to become very difficult for us to even believe that Jesus is coming again. And I said in the first service, to be honest with myself, that as much as I want Jesus to come, I really don't know if I want him to come right now, as I'm talking to you right now. Because I have some things that I'm doing that I haven't finished yet. I'm believing God for some breakthroughs. The single sisters want to marry before he comes. Those who are married want to make babies before he comes. Business people want to break through and get their affairs, $1 billion. Politicians and political parties want to be in power. We all have desires and wishes. And at the end of the day, does these wishes and desires we have line up with his purpose and with his wishes? For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them that are called according to his. Everybody, please say with me, his purpose. And when the Bible talks about his purpose, then it means that you and I have no purpose, and our purpose does not matter, but his purpose. So all the dreams and desires and vision we have, does it line up with his purpose? I've been talking to my sons in the ministry, and I told them on Friday when we came to Amos Dicho's burial service, funeral service, I said to them, I'm examining myself in the light of the scriptures as it relates to signs of his second coming, and examining my message, and I'm seeing that we are falling short because there is something lacking in our messages, including my message. And what is lacking is the fact that the Bible said, he who have this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And I said, our messages are not giving the church hope of his coming in order for people to watch the way they are living and to purify themselves. And I said, that is very, very dangerous. Because how do we account and answer to the Lord that we did not prepare the church? It's like all we are doing is winning souls, but we are not preparing them for the purpose for which they were saved. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Conforming to the image of the Son of God. Are we really conforming to the image of the Son of God? Because in the church today, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. For by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples indeed, if you have love one for another. And I ask myself, do we really have love one for another? I think we fight one another more than we love one another. I think we hate one another more than we love one another. I think we criticize one another more than we love one another. I think we judge one another more than we should love one another. I think we condemn one another more than we should love one another. I think we compete with one another more than loving one another. I think we are jealous of one another. We are envious of one another. We strive with one another. We are suspicious of one another. We don't really love one another. Jesus said, this only commandment I give to you, forget about the Ten Commandments, is fulfilled in my death and resurrection. But a new commandment I give, or not a law, but a commandment, that you love one another. And the Bible said, for ye have passed from death to life because you love the brethren. And when I look at our messages and what we are preaching, I am taking responsibility and repenting before the Lord. I don't really think that my messages have really prepared you to give you the hope of his coming. I think my messages have empowered you to know how to deal with the devil, bind the devil, be a survivor, be an overcomer, be a victorious, breakthrough, succeed, have territorial dominion, and it's all good. But when I look at you and I look at myself, I wonder if we are ready, if Jesus came right now as I'm speaking to you, whether we are ready. And the Bible said there will be two on the field. One shall be taken and one shall remain. Two in the bedroom, a husband and wife. And a husband may go and a wife may remain. Or a wife may go and a husband may remain. I was talking to my children the other day. I called my sons and I was talking to them in the bedroom. And I was sharing with them Matthew 24 and talking to them about the signs of the second coming. And one of them was very disturbed. And then I said, why are your eyes red? Why are you in tears? He said, I'm afraid. I'm scared. And I said, you don't have to be scared if you do the right thing. But I said, it is my responsibility to show you these things, that his coming is closer than we think. I'm telling you, as much as business is as usual, Jesus said, it shall be like in the days of Noah. And in the days, like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when business was as usual. And the Bible said they were eating and drinking, and marrying and giving to marriage, and they were buying and selling. Then suddenly, and I'm beginning to realize that I was telling Reverend Obodai them, I said, you know, the messages I preached 30 years ago, I got to go back to some of them, because when I look at this generation, the believers we have today, it's like these folks are not Christians. I'm telling you. I know a lot of things that goes on in the church. I mean, the pettiness, the strife, the carnality, the anger, the revenge, the lack of forgiveness, and the disrespect for the things of God, the insensitivity, the greed for money. I mean, somebody buys a land for $10,000 and the price on the market today is maybe $500,000, and all you paid for is $10,000, and the person who fight to get $500,000, acting as if that is the kind of money he bought the land with, just because that is what the so-called world is saying that is the new price of the land. And he's a believer, and another believer needs the land, and he has more land, and he can give that land to another believer for maybe even $100,000, just because the agents are saying that it's $500,000, and the agents want their agency, and he's also going to get some 490,000 he didn't work for. He won't give it to the believer for 100,000. He will give it to another person that belonged to another religion or to a pagan just to get all that money. I just ask myself, what is going on here? Who are we? And you know what? I don't blame you at all. I take personal responsibility and I'm checking my messages and I am determined to bring back the old time religious messages. Because I refuse to be ashamed when he appears. And I refuse when I stand before him not to be able to give a good account. And God is not the respecter of person. On that day, all of us will answer to him. Whether you are an archbishop or a bishop or a prophet or an apostle or a teacher or an evangelist or a president or a politician or a businessman, you went to Yale, Harvard, Cambridge, Oxford, Princeton, doesn't matter, color of your skin, short or tall, slim and whatever, everybody will answer. I am talking to you today about the judgment seat of Christ. Let us go to the word now. Romans chapter 14, reading from verse 10 to 12. Romans chapter 14, reading from verse 12. Verse 10 to 12.
Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
This is not talking to unbelievers. This is talking to the church. This is specifically to you and I, believers. He said, as I live, as it is written. Every knee means every believer will bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me. And we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we shall all give an account for what we did with our time, our money, and the things we did in our body, and the way we treated one another. We shall account to God on that day. There is judgment for all believers. Apart from the judgment for sinners and those who didn't receive Christ, there is a judgment for us. And our judgment takes place at the judgment seat of Christ. How prepared are you and I? Are you ready? Are you living by the hope of his calling? Do you have that hope in you? Are you, and do you understand and appreciate that we are in transit? We are in transit. That this is not our final destination. That if we are blessed, it is good. But all the blessing and everything we have is for a purpose. And if it is not used for that purpose, the day is coming when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we will account for what we did with everything God gave us. I was talking to the first service about a lady and the husband that came to this church many years ago, and they were really blessed financially. They had a lot of money, and we had some serious needs with projects like the university and many things, and they would just visit, and I did everything to encourage them to be members of this church. For one reason or the other, they decided whether they didn't like me or they didn't like my style of leadership, and they didn't come here. They went to another church who is also somebody I know very well. So I didn't say anything. I released them. I forgot about them for many years. And I have people coming to see me every now and then from other churches who need who has problems and things. And I try to help them the possible way I can. But most of the time I'll tell them, talk to your pastor first. Because I don't want it to look like I'm stealing somebody's sheep. That is the way it's become right now. People have become our personal sheep. God have mercy on us. So anyway, I said to them, have you spoken to your pastor that you have come to see me? And they said no. And I said, well, I need you to go and talk to them. And you can come and see me. And they used to have serious money in those days. They have some deep pocket, a lot of liquid. And they've lost everything. They've lost everything. Investment, property, everything. Time changes. Don't be too sure. I'm telling you. If you are not sure of what I'm telling you, look at Japan. It was the second largest and strongest economy of the world. And within 5 minutes, they lost everything. The earthquake and the tsunami took planes, ships, and cars. It picked them up like toys, baby toys, threw them away. Banks were destroyed. Money has become like nothing. People don't have money anymore. Multi-millionaires went to bed as moguls, woke up in the morning, lost their business, company, investment, money, everything. And some even who have money can't buy water because the water is contaminated. Can't buy the food because the food is contaminated. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. The ground is sinking sand. All other ground. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 to 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 to 11.
Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him.
That is the key. Underline, we may be accepted of him. So you can be rejected of him on that day. That's why Paul said, I bring my body under subjection, lest that after I have preached to others, I also be cast away. That word cast away means divinely disapproved, ashamed before the Lord, not worthy to stand in his presence on that day. When you have preached unto others and have not checked yourself. Even as I'm preaching to you, I'm checking myself. Go ahead.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
We must all appear before, all of us will appear. Not one will escape this judgment seat. If you are a believer, you will appear before this throne. Go ahead.
That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences.
All of us will give an account to the things we did in our bodies, to the things we did with time, to the things we did with resources, whether it was for good or for bad, we will give account. Matthew 12 and 30.
He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad.
You see, here is a very interesting thing Jesus said here. It has to do with people who are helping to win souls, helping to build the church and the kingdom. And he said, if you have been saved and you are in Christ, it doesn't matter what church you belong to, and you are not helping the church to gather, you are not helping the church to build, to win souls, to perfect the saints for his coming, he said, you are against me because you are not helping me to gather. So you are scattering. That means whatever I have given to you, life, health, resources, influence, you are using it to help the enemy to scatter what I am gathering. So every one of us must examine our motives and our heart to find out why we do the things we do. I was saying at the fair service that sometimes a lot of things marvels me, and I have learned to process a lot of things in my heart and to keep my mouth shut and say nothing. Because sometimes I ask people and certain pastors and churches why they even start branches in some places. And congregation members, it has happened to me several times, can persuade you to start a branch of a church somewhere that God hadn't called you to start a church there. And the motive why you are doing the church or you started the branch there is not because you love the souls in that area or you want the souls to be saved. But you are putting that branch there to either compete with another church, to prove that you have more branches than another church, or to prove that you have a church in America or in Europe or in Asia. It looks like our motive and the reason for which we do things is no more to glorify God. It's either to compete with people and to be accepted by people, to be recommended or to be praised or to be honored by human beings or by important people to be in the good books of men. But I'm telling you, all that is very dangerous. I was saying at the first service, sometimes a member of your church may be very wealthy or have money, may move from the area where your church is to another community at all out of town. That will show what is in your heart. Can you tell them you can join another church as long as they are Bible-believing church? Or you'll be forced to start a church in that area because you don't want to lose that member because of the money he gives you or their influence. I mean, we got to check our motives. I am checking my motives myself. That's why I don't have churches everywhere. Now, I'm not saying that those who have churches everywhere are doing a bad thing. No. It's all the motives at the end of the day that God is going to look at. That why did we do the things we did? Is it to compete with others? Is it to prove a point? Or is it because you didn't want your members to go to? I mean, we got to check a lot of things. And for even congregation members, you got to be very careful why you do the things you do. Your motive and your reason for which you give and you do what you do. Are you doing it for some kind of a religion, to satisfy some kind of a religious, thing, or you are doing it just because you truly love the Lord and you really want to see His kingdom build and you want to see revival in the church and you really want to see the church move on. Like right now, we have a lot of our brothers and sisters who have come from La Côte d'Ivoire, pastors and their wives and children and members of our church in La Côte d'Ivoire, and some Ivorians we don't even know who are Christians. They are here. Some of them are here right now. They've come. Some of them don't have food to eat. They don't have a place to stay. It is our responsibility, if we have to really love one another, to reach out to care for them. But there are people sitting there in the church. There is no compassion in our heart. We have no conscience. We don't care. We think we are saved. Nothing will ever happen to us. But let me tell you something. If what has happened in La Côte d'Ivoire could happen in La Côte d'Ivoire, and you hear what is going on in Burkina Faso, there's a curfew there. I'm told they bombed the palace of the president, so he has run to his village. And all of this is not waking us up. I don't know what it will take to wake us up. I'm telling you. I saw what happened in America after 9/11. How people were turning to God and repenting. And immediately after some few years, that whole repentance and turning to God just disappeared. And the Lord said, go back to Ghana. And when they invite me, I tell them, I strongly believe that God has moved away from the churches in America. Because when you watch TBN and everything, it's all about money, 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 money. Now, I'm not saying we don't need money. We need money to pay light. We need money to pay utilities. We need money to pay the staff. But the gospel is not about money. It's not about raising money. It's about salvation for souls. And it's not about only winning souls. But it's also to prepare the souls we've won for the coming of the Lord. But it looks like we have won souls, but we haven't prepared them for the coming of the Lord. And that's why I'm saying that even me, I'm your archbishop. I've been born again for 35 years. I am not sure. I have to be very honest with you, because liars won't enter the kingdom. So I have to be very sure. I am not very sure if, as I'm speaking to you right now, if Jesus appeared in the clouds of glory, if I'm ready and I'm happy for him to come. I don't know. I'm telling you the truth. You can look at me any way you want to look at me. I'm just telling you the truth. I know as for you, you are ready. Everything is correct, so you are ready for him to come right now. But I'm not very sure about me. I'm still checking me. I'm still working on myself. I'm still checking my motives. Let's move on. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 4, 17 to 19. 1 Peter 4, 17 to 19.
For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
You see, he said, even if it is so, if judgment is going to begin in the house of God, it's going to be that severe, then what will happen to those who don't believe? And just the fact that we are saved, we are in Christ, doesn't mean that we are going to not be judged and come before the judgment seat of Christ. And this judgment is different from the judgment with the world. Our judgment, coming to the judgment seat of Christ, this particular judgment, I'll show you as we go on, is a different judgment. It's not the judgment of condemnation, but it's a judgment of accountability, giving an account for what you did in your body, what you did with your life, what you did with the money God gave you. You'll see all that as we go ahead. We'll give account of everything. And on that day, this particular judgment is about assessing us, how we lived our life, and what we did for the kingdom, and what we did with all God gave to us to build the church and to build the kingdom, to prepare people for eternity, including me preaching, all of us preachers, everybody. It's not just winning souls, but did you prepare them? Did they have the hope? Were they ready through your preaching and everything to appear before the judgment seat and not be ashamed? Or you just preach to them to come to church and show up every Sunday morning and collect their tithes and their offerings? I'm not saying tithe and offering is bad. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying that we got to check all these things. That at the end of the day, whether we give tithe and we give offerings, the usage of the tithe, the usage of the offering, everything, our influence, our power, our money, everything is to build the kingdom, build the church, win souls, bring them into the ark, prepare them, give them the hope for his coming. Because whether you believe it or you don't believe it, whether I am ready or you are ready or not, Jesus is coming back again, whether you like it or not. And the Bible said, even the days will be shortened lest the elect be deceived. And one of the strongest things I am very worried about in this end time, as I watch the church and look at my own life and I look at my children and I look at everything around me, I can see the level of the deception, the bewitchment, seduction, and how our conscience has been desensitized that we are living like this is it. That is it. It's all about me, my wife, my children, and that is it. It's all about us. It is not about Christ and the reason for which we were saved. We are not ready. And my assignment is to get you ready. Because you know something? My job is to judge myself and examine myself and let you give the opportunity to do the same, so that when we appear before Him, my hands will be clean of any man's blood. I will not be said on that day that you didn't do what I expected of you, of all I gave to you. And those who have greater lights, like us preachers, our judgment will be higher than others. And that is what scares me. If you have never been scared, I'm telling you, me, this thing scares me. So you better be scared. Look at someone and say, you better be scared. Sum nyami, nyami sum, nyami nyami sum, nyami nyami sum, nyami. Alleluia sum, nyami, nyami sum, nyami, nyami sum, nyami, nyami. From coming to this judgment seat is when we renounce Christ or we continue in sin that grace may abound. We continue in sin, willful sin, to the point where we have no remorse, no conscience. We don't feel like asking forgiveness. We don't feel like repenting, that we feel even justified for sinning. Where we renounce Him. But for those who remain in Christ and keep this hope alive and purify themselves, all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And this particular judgment is a judgment for believers to assess you, how you live your life after you got saved. And the works, your good works, your deeds, what you did for the church, what you did for God, whether you use your body, your time, your resources, your money to help build the church, or you took sides with the enemy, you held back. Everything will be, on that day we will account for everything. This is what this judgment is about. It is not to condemn us, to send us to hell, but this particular judgment is to assess everyone's work, and you will see whether your works will be, we can stand the fire. For all of our works will be tested by fire, and the fire is coming out of his eyes, and the secret of all men shall be revealed on that day. Come with me to the book of John. John chapter 5 verse 24. Let's begin with John chapter 3 verse 18. John 3:18.
He that believeth on him is not condemned.
So it's not condemned. This is not to condemn you. It's not for condemnation.
But he that believeth not is condemned already.
You see, so unbelievers are already condemned. So this judgment is not about condemning believers,
because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
John 5:24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
You see, so we pass from death to life. So we are not going to hell. We are not going to eternal. This death here has to do with eternal damnation, where we face hell. But this judgment seat is not about condemnation and being cast into hell. This is for those who make it to heaven, must come before the judgment seat of Christ and must give account. And the account we give will determine our placement in heaven. As we go along, you will see that some of us will become rulers over a city and some rulers over cities. And I'm looking forward. I am looking forward on that day of his appearance, that I will not be ashamed, that I will have the confidence to come before him. And on that day, when we all stand before him, that I will have the honor to rule cities. And that is determined by what we are doing here right now. It's not determined after we die, because after we die, it's too late to correct anything. Everything we are doing here right now is going on record. Let's go ahead. Romans 8:1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
You see, who walk not after the flesh. So we can't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is not time to be arrogant, proud, boastful, insensitive, little thing. We get offended, we complain about everything, criticize everybody, judging one another, suspicious of everything, suspicious of everybody, rumor mongering. I mean, we got to walk away from the works of the flesh. That's why you must come to the Wednesday Bible teachings to hear the works of the flesh. Because let me tell you something, as we go on, you will see that on the day of judgment, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the thing that will judge you and I is not the Father, because the Father has refused to judge us. He has handed over judgment to the Son. As we go ahead, you'll see. Because the Father has not been in the flesh. So he said judgment has been handed over to the Son, because he's the Son of Man. Now he's the Son of God, talking about his divinity. He's the Son of Man, talking about his humanity. So God said, I'm giving judgment to my Son because he has been in the flesh, so that you and I will have no excuse to say, you haven't been in the flesh. You are in heaven. You've been in the spirit. You don't know what it means to be in the flesh. Jesus has been in the flesh, so he knows what it means to be in the flesh, so he can identify with the weakness of you and I and our infirmity. He starts with the feelings of our infirmity. And you know what the Son did? When the Father gave judgment to the Son also gave the judgment to the Word. So the Son also refuses to judge us. So we will be judged by the Word. And that's why we must look at the Word of God as a mirror. So the more you are in the Word, you can see how you look like. And you can correct the way you dress and the way you look like. So when we don't attend these meetings, And we only come to meetings that profit and benefits us when we are in the flesh. And don't come to meetings that help us to give us the hope of His coming. It is difficult to be in compliance and to come into divine alignment. That's why we live any kind of life. We do any kind of thing and we don't care. And it's not because we... You know what I've come to realize? I think strongly that people really don't want to be bad and people really don't want to do bad things. But I think it's the ignorance. The fact that we haven't taught you and you don't know some things is the reason why you do certain things you don't have to do. But Jesus says the words that I have spoken to you is what? Is spirit and is life. And ye are cleansed by the words that I've spoken to you. So this morning, as you hear the word of the Lord come forth, be cleansed from all iniquity and unrighteousness. And let this hope also be in you. Say amen. Now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Let's move on. 1 Peter chapter 1, 17 to 19. 1 Peter 1, 17 to 19.
And if ye call on the Father,
uh-huh,
who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work.
You see, judgeth, he's the judge, without respect. So God is not the respecter of any person. On that day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it doesn't matter who you were here on earth. It doesn't matter. Your position doesn't matter. Archbishop, prophet, a politician, prime minister, president, minister of whatever, UN, what, went to Oxford, Cambridge, businessman, business tycoon, oil sheik, mogul, magnate, forget it. All those things don't matter on that day. We are standing before whom we have to deal with. And all that you were and I was here does not matter. Because on that day, the secret of all men shall be made manifest. And we are stripped of everything. And the only thing that is left with is the real us, the spirit we have no time for. And the flesh we spend time building and acquiring wealth for. And all we acquired here that we didn't use it for the church and the kingdom doesn't count in heaven. And we will account for it. Okay, let's finish. 1 Peter 1:17-19.
Part of the time of your sojourning here in fear.
Sojourning here means we are strangers here. Look at someone and say, we are strangers here. This is not our final destination. We are going somewhere. We are in transit. I'm telling you. You may not believe it. We are in transit. You know, on Friday when Amos Doshe was lying in the casket there, I was sitting here, and a lot of thoughts was going through my mind. A few weeks ago, he was in my office with his wife Olivia. We're chatting. And when he went into coma, they will call me from the hospital and put the phone on his ears. And he wasn't responding to anything. And when I start praying and he begins to hear my voice on the phone, tears begins to flow through his eyes. And I say, Papa, he's crying. He's crying. He's crying. And I said, it's a message in itself. Those tears is a message. Church, we are strangers here. And whether you like it or not, we will all go one day. But how are we going? When you are traveling to another country, you need a visa before you get there. If you get to the airport and you don't have a visa, they'll send you back. And this thing is no joke. Because the only way we will not die is when he appears in our time. And it is possible that we are the generation that will see the coming of the Lord. But even the generation that does not die, that sees his coming, will also give an account. And that is what is scary. We are not going to be condemned to hell, but everyone's works will be tried by fire. And you will stand there and see the works of others in the church going through the fire and burning and others wet stunning the fire because their wet was precious stone, gold or silver, and others their wet was wood, clay. Couldn't stand the fire. Sum yami yami sum yami yami sum yami yami sum yami abibi ara obeye obebu ago. Okay, let's finish now.
For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's move on. John 5:22-23.
For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him.
You see, so God said, the Father has judgment. He is the one who judges. And he said, I hand over judgment to my Son. And if you go to any court of law, you will see that when the judge comes in, everybody stands to honor the judge. And everybody seeks to honor the judge. And when you are addressing the chair, you have to say, your lordship, you give honor to the judge. And he said, I want judgment to be given to my Son, and I want my Son to be honored. That's why I'm giving him the judgment. And look at what the Son also did. Look at what the Son did. John 5:26-27.
For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man.
You see, the reason why judgment was given to him is because he's the Son of Man. So none of us have an excuse to say, Jesus, you don't understand what it means to be human. He has been human before, so he understands. So look at what he also did. John 12:47-48.
And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
You see, so he's saying here, the Father said, you know what, I'm not going to judge. Son, you have been human, judge them. And the Son also said, Father, I want judgment to be given to the word, because it will be too late by the time they come before the judgment seat. It will be too late to correct anything. So I want judgment to be given to the word, so that once they are on earth, if they can look into the mirror of the word, they will know what is expected of them, and they can correct themselves before they come before the judgment seat. Mercy. Somebody thank God for mercy. Somebody say mercy. Somebody say mercy. What does that mean? It means that we have been given the opportunity through the mirror of the word to know the things that are required of us right now, so that we can check our heart and our motives and our attitude and begin to live according as it is required of us. So on that day, when we stand before the judgment seat, it is not for condemnation, but it's for reward. And we are confident that our works, when it's tried by fire, will survive. And that our works will not be burnt. That our works will either be precious stone, silver, or gold, because our motives were right. And we were living in anticipation of that great appearance of the Son of God. So we were careful how we dealt with one another. We checked our attitude and we checked our motive. A husband didn't mess around because he's afraid that the wife will find out. But he will not do it because of the fear of the Lord and the hope of his calling. Same with the wife. So that it's not anymore about husband or wife or you or me, but it's all about him and his coming and where we are going to. Okay, let's look at five areas where we will have to be judged or give an account for. Number one, Romans chapter 2 verse 2. Romans chapter 2 verse 2, quickly.
But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things.
The judgment of God is according to truth. So that there is no partiality in him. There is no way that you and I can say that God, you are not being fair. You haven't been fair. No, we are being given the opportunity right now. So on that day, there is no excuse. Nobody can say it was because of my wife or my husband, my father, my children, or this, or the church, or the pastor. No, there will be no excuse because we are going to be judged according to what? And what is that truth? The word. Let's go on quickly. Romans 2:6.
Who will render to every man according to his deeds.
According to his deeds. All of us. It will be according to our deeds, our works, what we did. Every man. So check your deeds. Check your works. Check your commitment. Check your motives for everything we do for Christ. Because everything is on record. I'm telling you. It's on record. And what is wrong in the records right now can be corrected right now whilst we are here. If we start doing the right thing, it can be corrected before we get there. But if we don't correct it now, when we get there, it will be too late to correct it. Because it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, judgment for the unsaved and to the believer, we have to give an account. It's two different things. Romans 2:11.
For there is no respecter of persons with God.
God has no respecter. He's no respecter of it. It doesn't matter who we were when we were here. On that day, we are like all men and all flesh. I don't know about you, but I am determined to have that hope in me. To check the way I treat others. The way I handle and deal with others. And the motive for which I do the things I do. So that it will all be right before that day of his appearance. Let's move on. Romans 2:12.
For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law.
You see, this is willful sin here and ignorance of the law. So you'll be judged even without the law by your conscience. And those who knew the law shall also be judged by the law. So what it means simply here is the level of your light will determine the level of judgment you receive. The amount of light. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing what I'm doing because I know that it is required of me to prepare you. And not to prepare you will not be good for me. And as much as the messages I have preached you over the years is necessary for daily survival and for earthly survival, it does not prepare you for eternity. Bibiara aube bibie ube uwa kunta intimini ya sum yame yame sum yame yame sum yame yame sum. Okay, Romans 2:16.
In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
So, also the secrets will be judged. Secrets. Things that are known to nobody but to you. On that day, it shall be judged. Because time is fast spent, I want to give you one scripture and then we'll continue later. Because time is fast spent, I'll give you one scripture and we'll continue. 1 Corinthians 11:31. We'll continue the rest later.
For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
Amen. Amen. Please stand on your feet. Sum yami, yami. Hope in him purifies himself, and let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. If you have to work it out, then it's not automatic. It means you can lose it. Talk to the Lord. And for us pastors and preachers, let also talk to God. I really believe that even when it comes to tithes and offering, if we really teach people about the coming of the Lord, it's very, very clear that then they know even why they are giving. But this thing about you have to tithe, give. Why should I tithe and give when I don't even understand why I should tithe and give and what the tithe and the offering is all about?
Please talk to the Lord. If you must repent.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com.